Incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yo, wait. What happened? Y'all came in late, bro. I was like, leave me hanging for a second.
We started. We
didn't you hit me started. With the sincere don't laugh right before that, and right. I started laughing.
Welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back. Myself, Rob, Brennan.
What's up?
Ice.
What it
we do? Are back in the game, man. Zooming again. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Not feeling the Zoom, but I guess it's best for right now.
Zoom is a raggedy bitch, and I'm standing on it.
Ice Epstein has spoken.
That's not gonna work. You need to stop
it. It already has worked, to be honest.
Not only has it worked, it's been brought up in the group chat by not us. I said it, Rob and Keenan both laughed. The only person not entertained right now happens to be the one being made fun of.
But it didn't even make sense because my example was the exact opposite. So
I don't even remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because it just sounds funny. That's the best part. It just sounds funny. You can just say it at any point.
It had a great ring to it, and that sucks. That your name has a great ring with Epstein. Because Keenan Epstein don't say
bullshit right now.
Oh, do you know what it is? This is what it is. There's only one syllable in his name. It's just ice. You know what I'm saying? Like Keenan Epstein don't sound the same. Brennan. Rob Epstein might sound pretty good.
Oh, come on.
I was waiting for you to get there. I'm like, hey, I'm taking somebody down with
wow.
me.
Oh, man.
Rob's like, oh, fuck that.
Rob, never shave your face again.
Oof.
Yeah, buddy.
Because I had to come for you.
So you know what we do on here, man. We do one off. We do debates on animation.
Wait a second,
man.
I get that shit. Fuck you. Hey, fuck you, bro.
I was like, no, he didn't get it.
Hey,
he didn't get it.
Hey, bro.
Slow burn.
It's always funny when somebody picks it up slow. You just be like,
hey, he's been over there.
Wait
he's
a minute,
he
what
did
the
this.
Fuck?
I said it, and he was just like, ha, ha, ha. That was a. Hey, wait a minute.
Because I was so busy laughing at his facial hair, or lack thereof, and then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a second.
Scruff McGruff.
Yep.
You know what we do on here. We do the one-off debates. We review movies. We review shows. We talk that shit on here, man. That's what we do, man. And this week, this special week, man, I feel like we kind of pushed Rob to do this. I hope it goes well.
Y'all bully Rob, bro.
Yeah, it's like we bullied him. But this week is Rob's pick, which is a classic in a lot of people's eyes. A classic in my eyes. Brennan, a classic in your eyes?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a classic. This is as deep as it goes when it comes to... For me, this is part of my foundational understanding of anime. This is one of the first anime I watched.
Really?
Yeah, the first one that I really... This is like... Obviously, I was in Dragon Ball Z and stuff, but I was a casual fan for a while. But when I started getting serious until I really like caring about anime, like this is one of the first shows that I was like, I'm watching this whole thing. Like, get through it all.
And that anime is Death Note. That Rob picked. We talked highly about it, Brennan and I. So we were hoping that one day we'll pick it. I think people in the group tech were talking about it also. Yep. This is an anime too for me that I mean I've watched a bunch of anime before this, but I was only an action guy. And this is the first time I had somebody watch an anime and it wasn't action, and I was just like, oh fucking K. All right. And we're here today. So we got some factual actuals from Brennan, I think.
Before we go into that about the show,
nope.
I just want you guys to know. Wait, Brennan, you're not prepared?
We're going to have to do that next week. I actually was. The thing is, the biggest reason is because I actually do have it prepared. The biggest reason I don't have it is because my laptop has died. And normally the way I do that is I have to read it either from my phone or my laptop, and I'm using my phone to record my voice. I'm using my iPad to talk to us right now, and my laptop is absolutely dead.
So you were double unprepared. Two times unprepared. You was unprepared because you didn't have your charger. And he was unprepared because you don't have the notes and stuff for us. The lowdown.
I think that's actually single unprepared because I do have them, but I can't look at them without erasing myself from the
No, that's double. That's more than one. You unprepared twice. Damn.
Okay, well, you know.
You're gonna double down on your unprepared. I gave you all that. I gave you all that love. I gave you all that love last week. And this is how you bounce back.
It makes it so much worse coming from an Epstein.
Oh my God.
It's like, damn, if they talking down to me, I know I'm fucking.
I'm just saying, it's like, I gave you all that love last week. And this is how you do me? Come on, bro.
You
back. You 6-point LeBron again. That's what you are. 6-point LeBron.
I will say you are unprepared, not double unprepared like Ice. And I was gonna have your back, but I was gonna say, oh yeah, he put up a good point about forgetting the charger. So that is, yeah, on you 100%.
I love that
on
this you. Is all leading into Ice's thing.
Yeah.
He's unprepared. I'm never unprepared when it comes to that. Cause I'm consistent with mine. And
consistently late.
And we are consistently the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Even when we're slipping.
Yeah. I love it. He just sits there and he just sits in it like, yeah, I just said that out loud so passionately. I got nothing in return. Your face don't say that you love it at all.
I love it every time. I'm happy to say it. I look forward to it.
Well, do we even do a breakdown next week? I feel like Robin's gonna go into it. It's gonna
especially
be
especially doing six episodes.
So I mean, the one thing I'll say about this that I was surprised because this is from what I've seen regarded as a classic. I was really surprised to see this came out in 2006. It's really not that old. Right. Of an anime. Like I was expecting something from like late 90s, but this like pretty recent. I mean, considering
very much recent.
That year is the perfect. I think I watched it that year actually because I graduated high school in 2005 and I wasn't really into anime until like freshman year in college. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I didn't catch this until probably 20.
I'd like to point out that Ice was like, Jesus Christ, my high school graduation year, when it's like literally everybody else here graduated within a year of that, except for you, Ice.
Jesus Christ, if Rob would have said it, if Keenan would have said it, I would have said the same thing. He Jesus would. Christ. I was in fucking sixth grade.
Goddamn.
A child.
Oof. Yeah. All right, so Brendan doesn't have his stuff prepared.
You know what, Brendan? I got you back. So, Death Note. Came out in 2006. It was written by the original manga started with Tsugumi Ohaba.
Yeah, we're in real Brennan territory now.
Yeah.
he was the one who created it and then it got adapted. First they put it in the Shonen Jump, which everybody knows that's like the biggest, you know, anime conglomerate there is. They put it in that into that, and then from that it got picked up. It's only 12 volumes. Those 12 volumes translated into, 37 episodes?
37 episodes.
37 episodes. And then it came out. Its first original run was October 3rd, 2006, and it ended in 2007. I know Brennan always gives a backstory about the people who made it. So this guy, The writer, the stuff that he got right here, I don't know any of it, but I don't know if you guys, Hukuru no Go, Bakuman, and then
Bakuman sounds familiar.
You don't know Bakuman?
No, I probably seen it. I can see like the lettering for it, but I don't know. No, I don't know at all. And then Platinum Inn, he is a very decorated writer. He's got the Tezuka Award in 1989. The Shogukana.
He's old. That's what that is.
Yeah, he is old. Manga Award, and then the Kusiyama Samu Cultural Prize in 2003. So he got some awards on his belt. He out here.
Yeah. Okay.
He out here in these streets, and then it was directed by Tetsuro Araki.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's so much fun. Now this guy, reading it, he been out in these streets, so. We pretty much gonna know almost. I know everyone except one. Brennan probably know all of these. So Death Note, of course. Attack on Titan is his. High School of the Dead. Canterbury of the Iron Fortress, and then Guilty Crown. I mean, that's his five, and that's not a bad five to be known for.
Solid list.
That is pretty solid.
Yeah. As far and I think as much as
I was like, nah, fuck him. King Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan, yeah.
And season as much as two, I, what the
as much as I hate Attack on Titan, the directorial, like the direction of it is probably my favorite part. How everything is shot, it's like super thriller-esque. Yeah. And this is what this is. This is a thriller in a sense, because like Keenan was saying, no, not a lot of action, not a lot of fight scenes, not a lot of choreographed, you know, hand-to-hand combat in this, but it still keeps you on the edge of your seat. Seat. So yeah, that's all I got. Did I do good? Is that it, Brennan? Would you say anything else?
I talk about if the show's ever won any awards before, what the reception was like. If there's been any movies made about it.
There has been a movie. I think a lot of people.
The studio that made it.
The studio that made it. Produced by Madhouse, the GOAT, one of the GOATs. Yeah, one of the ghosts, you know, can't fuck with Madhouse, and Madhouse is up there for sure. Had a video game in 2007 on the Nintendo DS.
Let me pause you for 1 second. I don't understand when people say one of the ghosts. It's like, isn't the greatest of all time is like a singular thing?
I think it's in the sense of like people in it, they're in the GOAT conversation. It's like, Keenan and I had a talk like this before too around basketball. It's like, Kobe, Jordan.
Can't you
Jordan.
Just say like he's in the GOAT conversation instead of saying he's a GOAT? Because
yeah, I said one of the GOATs, so it's like one of the greatest of all time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see that and I agree with that. And I think a lot of times what it is, because there's no GOAT, I think what it is that they call it the Big Three or whatever, and then they have a new generation Big Three. So the Big Three, I think, is Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, and One Piece. I forgot who the new three are right now. It's probably interchangeable. My Hero is one of them.
Attack on Titan and Demon Slayer.
Maybe Attack on Titan and then...
I thought Bleach was normally considered in that conversation too.
It might be, but those...
Instead of One Piece, I thought Bleach was... Because Bleach is older than One Piece, I think.
No,
so like,
I hate to say it, but Bleach is... I mean, One Piece, man... Doing my research about One Piece, people really fuck with One Piece.
What are you talking about? I guess people just really fuck with it. Duh, what are you talking?
What do you mean? Brennan just said that he didn't think it was, and I just said, yeah, it is.
I just didn't think it was. I was just saying that I think Bleach is in that conversation, that's all.
But yeah, I didn't know people fuck with One Piece like that, because I didn't personally, but through research, people really like...
You cannot fuck with One Piece because you ain't seen nothing from it, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, that's my whole thing. It's fuck One Piece forever, just off the episodes alone.
I'm just saying it holds no weight to somebody in an argument, really, because it's like your argument is always going to be.
Somebody tells me the fun begins at the 386th episode.
I had no
desire to watch that show.
I can't knock that argument.
That is horrible. And I hope that's not true, because if it is true, that is just fucking awful.
That is awful.
But the fun here starts early on. So Rob, go ahead and lead us off.
Yeah, like we said, this is 37 episodes, so we'll be trying to go through 6 episodes a stretch. So I'm probably gonna miss some stuff. I tried to get this down to like its base elements. So stick with me here. But as the series begins, we meet our two characters we're gonna spend the most time with: Ryuk, Shinigami, or a god of death, and Light, a brilliant high school student near the top of the country in intelligence, like top of the top.
Side note. I'm
sorry. Cream of the crop.
Shinigami. I learned that word because of Bleach. That whole entire show is about Shinigami.
Oh, okay. Gods of death.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Demons. But though they come from
very
different...
the swords or something?
No, the actual people holding the swords are the Shinigami. The swords are just swords that have spirits.
I knew something was in the sword. That's all I know about Bleach.
They got something. But... yeah, so we meet these two guys. They're from super different backgrounds, obviously, but they do have one thing in common: just complete boredom and disgust with the state of their particular world. So Light sees news of crime and murder all around him, while Ryuk sees his fellow Shinigami sleeping and gambling their existence away in waste. But their fates collide when Ryuk drops his notebook of his death note into the human realm, and for his own entertainment. And Light finds it and binds the two together, either until the notebook is full or until Light dies. On the book are certain rules as how it can be used. There's a bunch of them, but essentially, if someone's name is written in the book, when the writer pictures their face, so they will die of a heart attack unless otherwise specified. And the writer can get pretty much as specific as they want down to like the time that it happens. Light is skeptical at first and tests it out once on a criminal on the news who has taken hostages and another on a group of thugs he sees trying to harass some women on the street. Light writes their names in the book and they both die like within a minute. And he realizes that the book is very real. And he goes home and decides he's going to fix the world by killing all the worst criminals in the world over and punish the wicked.
I'm going to do this show.
Which is still very wrong.
Yeah. Oh, he goes complete serial killer, like at the drop of a hat.
He just gets
on Google and starts just filling that notebook up fast. And Ryuk then appears to him pretty soon after and explains some of the rules further, you know, that they're bonded and only those who touch the notebook can see him. Additionally, when Light asks if there's any punishment for using the Death Note, because he's just like, oh, you're here for my soul. He's like, no, but you can never go to heaven or hell. You'll know the fear and pain that only those who have used the Death Note know. So that's pretty ominous. But Light's not deterred by that. He explains that his plan that is basically to become a god. He explains his plan to Ryuk, and it was funny to me. Ryuk says like, oh, well then you'll be the only bad person left. I thought that was pretty funny. He's like, no, yeah, I'm going to rule this world as a god. So then we get into the second episode. Ryuk is following Light around as he goes to school and comes home to write more names in the notebook, pretty much just chilling and eating apples while all this goes down. Meanwhile, the UN is noticing the common thread between all of these deaths and figure somebody has to be responsible. So to solve this case, they activate the world's best detective, this mysterious figure known only as L, along with his handler, Watari, who never show their face or their true identity. At his first point of action, L wants to set up shop in Japan, where he strongly believes that's where the culprit is. Back with Light, he has a near brush with disaster when his assist almost barges in on him when he's using the Death Note. So he devises this clever booby-trapped hiding space for his Death Note in his desk that only he knows the secret to unlock. And if somebody else tries to get at it, the Death Note will just be destroyed in a fire. Around the world, people are starting to notice the death of the criminals and start referring to the killer as Kira. Light absolutely loves this shit and starts saying, finally, the bad people are the ones who are scared. But suddenly, on an emergency TV broadcast, L confronts Kira for the first time, using a proxy to address him on TV. Light foolishly uses the Death Note to kill the proxy, and the real L comes on TV to tell him, like, you just tightened the circle on yourself, dude, and, like, reveals all these clues that he used.
The dude that he killed was somebody else supposed to get sentenced to death that day.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, we told everybody that this was a worldwide broadcast, but we're actually only broadcasting this right now, like, in your neighborhood. So we already know, here's where you are, and I just learned XYZ about, like, all of your killing abilities.
That was some slick shit.
That was very slick.
Yeah.
L vows to bring Light in and execute him for his crimes, while Light furiously vows to kill L first. So we've got these two guys just hunting each other down. L and the Japanese police start looking for suspects based on the time of the killings and the killer's psyche. He strongly believes that it's probably a student. Another cop points out that violent crimes are down worldwide, like, at this point. Not that they're condoning what he's doing, but worth noting.
He's doing God's work.
Doing something. Right after that, we followed the head of the investigation home, only to discover, dun, 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 he's Light's dad. So Light has this connection with the police, and he uses that connection to hack into the database and see what evidence they have. Seeing their suspicions about a student, he switches up his killing technique, so there's like one criminal dying an hour every hour. Al notices the difference and learns more about Light's ability, but also realizes there's probably a leak in the team. Light plans to use the suspicion to drive a wedge between L and the police and to use that distrust to discover L's identity. As officers resign from the case, fearing for their safety, L begins an investigation of the police themselves with outside agencies like the FBI. And one of those agents follows Light home one night, and he's freaked out but confident they don't know anything yet. So, sensing an opportunity to steal some of his life force away, Ryuk offers Light a deal at this point. He says, I can give you the vision of a Shinigami, which will allow you to see anyone's name and remaining life above their head when you look at them. But the cost is you have to give up half of your remaining lifetime. So Light thinks that over pretty quick. And at the beginning of the next episode, he's like, I'm not going to take that.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm doing pretty good right now. I've been murdering people and nothing.
I'm doing all right. My intention is to rule over this world, so I'm not going to shorten my lifespan. That doesn't really fit with my plan.
Smart. He's probably one of the smartest protagonists I've seen.
Definitely, yeah.
And it's not like a fucking Mugen type thing where they say Mugen got street smarts and he don't really have street smarts. Like, they boss him up as smart and he shows why he's smart.
Side note, is he even a protagonist?
That's another question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
Ryu compliments his tactfulness and says, hey, you'd be a worthy Shinigami, as the rest are kind of just lazy cowards, only continuing to exist because they're too afraid to die. And Light encourages him, like, hey, man, when this is all over, why don't you go back to your place and use what you learned here to make your place better?
Yeah, buddy.
You could turn it all around. But as they talk, Light devises a new plan on how he can lure the person following him to learn his name, as well as a few more experiments to test the limits of the Death Note. And so he writes out a bunch of new names, and though all the people on the list die, some were able to carry out these specific requests he did, like write a suicide note, like draw the symbol on the wall. But he did find that there are limits. You know, you can't have somebody do something that's physically impossible. You know, they can't transport through space or share knowledge they didn't already know. So he uses this info to set like a clockwork plan into motion, where he goes on a date knowing he'll be followed, and uses the Death Note to arrange a criminal to hijack the bus they're on. And he tricks the FBI agent following him, this guy named Ray Pember, to reveal his identity, and then kills the criminal by having him touch the Death Note, revealing Ryuk. And the criminal just totally freaks out, runs in fear, and is just smashed by a car. And Ryuk is more impressed than ever with Light at this point. Episode 5, at the crime scene, the FBI agent, Ray Pember, removes Light from his list of suspects and asks him to keep the FBI's involvement a secret. Light happily agrees, and his plan is working perfectly. At his hotel room, Ray tells his fiance Naomi about his experience. She used to be a top FBI agent as well.
She a cold piece.
Yeah, and she figures it out like immediately. She's like, hey, this all seems like really convenient, but Ray is just like, hey, just drop it. You're retired. I only said you could come here if you wouldn't get involved with the case. You know, once we get some kids, then you'll be busy.
What in the hell?
I'm like, if I'm a comedian, my girl was a comedian, and she has some insight on a joke or where I can go with a joke, I'm not going like, he used to be here. Nah, I'm gonna go like, oh, that's pretty clever. I'm gonna use that. Fucking idiot.
Light waits a week to make his next move, but continues to toy with L, sending him messages. But eventually he surprises Ray on his patrol and reveals himself as Kira while hiding his face and proving his power by killing this coffee shop worker who also happened to be like a sex criminal. Freaked out, Ray does exactly what Light asked. Like, it's just like whatever you want, and writes down all the names of his fellow FBI agents in Japan, not knowing he's writing their names down on a page of the Death Note. And all of those agents just start dropping dead. And Ray follows soon after, seeing Light's face as he dies, realizing his mistake. Absolutely. Ice cold.
Too late, motherfucker. Too late, bitch.
Too late. Following this, the FBI just completely pulls out of the investigation, tells the Japanese police about what they were doing, and the police are pissed and scared, knowing their faces are out in the public, and Kira will kill anybody who gets in his way. Light's dad, Yagami, comes home that night and tells his family about his involvement, but he refuses to quit. And Light compliments his dad. You know, he's just like, hey, dad, I'm proud of you. Good for you, dad.
Yeah.
And the next day at work, only 6 members of the police team remain. And L says, hey, you guys are my inner circle. I trust you now. And I want to meet if you agree to it. And even after that, they have one more guy that walks away.
Just like, how do you get down to the final 6 to have one more conversation and be like, no, I'm good?
I know.
Like, he was on that line. Like, man, should I do this? He probably like, man, I'll fuck this, man. I ain't risk my life for these fools.
Yeah. So as Light wonders if there's anything he's missed or hasn't thought of, L has his first secret meeting with the special task force of police investigators. And that's how we start the last episode we watched. L is revealed to be this scrawny, emaciated young man. And he meets with the police and he warns them, like, hey, like, secrecy about your identity is the most important thing right now. That's how they know Kira can kill. Like, if he knows your face, if he knows your name, that's all he needs. L tells them more about what else he's figured out about Kira. You know, he gives him the psych analyzation that he's childish with a skewed sense of justice and he hates to lose. And they're very alike in that regard. But he notes that Kira hasn't missed a beat to taunt or punish them, and he's holding the whole world as a hostage. So they come up with a few plans. They're going to announce that they have got like a 1500 man team on the investigation to make Kira feel cornered as they investigate the clues they have. But one thing L is certain: Ray Pember met with Kira during this certain window of time, and that leaves only a certain amount of suspects to look at. Meanwhile, Light is looking at the same window, worrying that he's left a clue for investigators. And Naomi, the fiance of Ray Pember, is starting the investigation of her own to look into his death, thinking that it has to be linked to that bus jacking incident and that Kira can kill with more than just a heart attack, something the police haven't figured out yet. So she goes to tell the investigation team, but runs into Light on an errand for his father. Light hears just enough of what she's trying to say and decides to get involved and, you know, quote unquote, help her, you know, air quotes here. Naomi is smart enough to give him a fake name, but otherwise just spills all the beans about what she knows and suspects, including that her fiance was killed by a student that he followed on the bus. And Light indulges her and says that, hey, like, look, you're super important to the case. This, you could have just cracked this. While internally just like thanking his lucky stars, he's like, man, thank God I got to this woman before she got to the police. Like, somebody's looking out for me. And that's where we leave off on episode 6.
Whew. All right. A hot 6.
Good job, Rob.
That was pretty.
That was about the same length of time as your other one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how do you guys feel about watching these 6? Just real quick, was it too much?
No.
Yeah, really, I think wasn't
if
bad.
It was, if it was some brutal shit, if it was like Blazer the Immortal or something like that, I feel like I wouldn't have enjoyed it for 6 straight episodes.
Yeah, it would've been tough.
Mm. It moves quick.
The story flowed, and I think too, the lack of action and the heightened suspense in the cat and mouse game. They rolled right into each other. Like, I really wanted to keep watching it. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's get into the question portion of this. What fictional character would you want to write in the book, and how would they die?
Motherfucking Monkey D. Luffy, so they can end One Piece. Because fuck One Piece. All them damn episodes, if he dies, hopefully that ends it. So eventually anybody that didn't start watching it in the 1700s can catch up to it. And he would die by drowning, because he's always on the boat. So he would drown to death.
See, now, if you'd watched any One Piece, you'd know water's his weakness because he ate the devil fruit. And if you eat one of the devil fruit, you can't swim. So that's a perfect way to kill him. There you go.
There you
Played right into the show.
There you go. Didn't even have to watch it. Save myself 386 episodes. There we go.
Before the fun happens.
Before the fun happens. That's probably the episode where he eats it, is the 386th episode.
All right. Brennan, what fictional character would you write in a Death Note? And how would they die?
I think I would kill... So here's the thought process I went through. And this is a controversial statement. I don't care. At first, I was like, I'd kill Son Goku.
Yeah, I was thinking.
But then I was just like, because I want Dragon Ball Z without Goku. I think it would be a better show without him. I really do. At this point, not saying it would have been better up until now, but I'm thinking like moving forward, I think it becomes a better show when you start focusing on all the other people in the show. I think it would be better. But it doesn't matter. Like, you're like, oh, if you kill Goku, like, then just how many times does he die? You know, he's Jesus. It doesn't really matter. You just bring him back. So then I was like, Shenron. I'd kill Shenron. But then I was like, yeah, but then Shenron's already died before. Then there's another Namekian that, you know, poops out another 7 Dragon Balls somewhere else. And now you got the dragon that they find.
I think that's how that works.
So I'm just trying to, like, I was trying to figure out how do you, like, make Goku actually have a permanent death. However that would work, that's what I would do. I don't care how he dies. I would just be like, Goku instant transmissions himself into the core of a sun. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there you go. Makes a miscalculation.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, the funniest thing that got closest to killing him wasn't even a person. It was that damn virus that he got.
Yeah.
For me, that's why I never understood that storyline. So, yeah, Goku died and the whole world went to shit. Like, why didn't you use the Dragon Balls? Like, the whole show is called Dragon Ball Z because everything's about Dragon Ball. They just have this dystopian future of, like, death and despair where these two androids are just killing everybody. And I'm just like...
Because at that point, they still had... I guess they'd already met the Namekians, but he'd already been wished back by the Earth Dragon Ball, so they would have had to go to like Namek, I guess.
Yeah, something like that.
Goku had to go to new Namek.
They created a fucking time machine. They can't make a spaceship,
right?
Like,
I think that's just, you know, so funny. Like, I never tripped off that till right now. The thing that has the best body count against Goku isn't even a person. Like,
yeah,
the only thing that's undefeated is goddamn COVID.
I mean, like, Cell killed him. Crazy.
He killed him. Self, I mean, almost, but basically, like an SD. Like, Goku took that. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm not even sure I can. I gotta give an asterisk to Cell.
Piccolo killed him with an SD.
Yeah, true. Because he took that willingly. Both of those blows, he took. Like, I'm gonna take this one for the team. You know,
what's his name? What's his name? The purple guy in Super, who's like really quick, the assassin.
Hit killed him.
It has
the win, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But he got his revenge. I said he never got his revenge on that virus, though.
No.
Now, how you going to get, like, it's like, man, I'm going to beat Kobe's ass. Like,
undefeated.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that's who I would kill.
Wear a mask.
I killed Goku in a way he couldn't come back.
Okay.
Can you imagine Dragon Ball Z if it was like Vegeta's trying to run the ship, but then it's just like, oh shit, like we all have to get more powerful. We can't depend on the safety valve. So Piccolo's training, Gohan finally takes the shit seriously for real. You know, it's just like everybody cares. Like Yamcha's like, well, fuck, I'm one of the most powerful humans on the planet. I guess I should try, you know, instead of just
being that always say that Yamcha beat our ass?
Oh, in a real fade? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
So many people were like, oh, no, I whoop Yamcha's ass. I was like, bro, he's like a world-class martial artist, though. He will destroy
you. Yamcha is still in the conversation for, like, top 10 strongest human beings, people on the planet Earth, in Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, he's the weakest of that group, but, like, literally no other human being can stand up to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a true man.
Like, I mean, that's like people talking shit about bench warmers in the NBA. It's like, they're still in the NBA. Like,
They destroy you. It's like Yamcha can do Kamehameha. He can fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can get beaten through a solid mountain rock and get up. And you're like, I could take him. Like,
now he'll spirit ball your ass to death, like, before you know what happened.
And that's
like,
the same level of disrespect with sports when they have, like, trash-ass NFL teams. They'd be like, Alabama can beat them. Like, no. No, they can't.
No.
Not at all.
All right, this question's running long winded. Let's keep it going. I would choose actually to kill, staying in Dragon Ball Z, I would choose to kill Goku's whole family besides him. I'll kill everybody in his family because I want to see him turn. He's too happy-go-lucky right now. He's too nonchalant. He's too carefree. When he found out that Chi-Chi and Goten got murdered by Black Goku and Zamasu, whatever, he snapped. Now the first time you see him get angry and snap like that in this show in I don't know how many years. So
Krillin died.
Because Krillin died, really, yeah. So I want to see.
And then got brought back.
Yeah, of course. But it's the same way. I would want it to be to where they're erased from existence and they can't come back. And now he has to learn and he has to come after me. And I'll be like, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Let's. I got this book, so anytime I can kill you, Goku. But I'll be the Joker in a sense. I'll be the Joker.
That'd be a really crazy show. It's just like Goku's whole, like, you're just your Death Note versus Goku in the Dragon Ball Z verse, but Goku doesn't know who has Death Note.
Nothing you can do with all your strength.
Yeah. All that power doesn't mean shit, and you're a bird brain. So
just like, that's the thing. Like, I was like, about to say, he's gonna have to be smart.
You write Gohan's name in there, like Gohan goes to say, you know, his final four words to his father, and then fights him to the death.
Fuck,
man.
That'll be crazy. I mean,
somebody must have sent the Death Note. It just came in the form of a deal.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? That would be funny if you made Goku have to, like, he died, all his people died at the hands of him. That would be fucking hysterical.
Oof.
And then he finds out that there was a death.
Hysterical is the word I would use for that, Kenan, but, you know.
In cartoon sense, it's not real, so I ain't tripping. Anyway, Rob, what do you think?
I'll make it quick. I'm picking Sinji's dad because fuck that dude. He's an asshole sitting up there plotting, not telling anybody anything. I'm having Sinji march into that office, put, you know, empty the clip in his dad. That's how I'm doing. Like, this is for mom, you know, like. Just...
And you just brought out the bitch.
Yeah. you know, the flourish.
You don't get the heart attack. You don't get it that easy.
No, dude. That's my pick.
All right, next question. What is a random slash dumb thing you've done because of boredom? So, yeah, as you know, they were bored as hell in here, and they were him and Ryuk, Light and Ryuk were pretty bored out here in these streets, and they wanted something to kind of spice up their life, and this is what happened. So, what things have you done because of boredom? What dumb things have you done, Brennan?
I've done some pretty dumb shit because of boredom. Yes. You know what's funny? all of us have. I'm just trying to think, like, what's the best story? Cause, I mean, cause, like, I grew up in a neighborhood that used to be an apple orchard. And, like, one of the dumbass things that we used to do was, like, we got bored. Like, we had what we called apple fights. So we would just, like, during – it only could happen in the fall, obviously. And it's just, like – it was just, like, you would just be chilling outside playing basketball. Somebody ride by on a bike and just, like, pelt you with an apple. And it's on. The whole neighborhood's going through it. We would break windows.
Apples, you know what I'm saying?
We'd be up in everybody else's yards throughout the whole neighborhood. Like, it was a problem. Like, we got in trouble for some of that sometimes. But that was a really dumb thing to be doing just because we were bored. Like, there wasn't even beef. It was just like, ain't nothing going on today. I'm pelting. And if you don't know, like, apples, when they're not treated, they're the worst thing to get hit with. Because, first of all, they're the perfect size for your hand. So not like a giant apple like you used to see in the stores. It's like a smaller thing like this. It's kind of like maybe like 2/3 the size of a baseball, you know, maybe a little bit smaller than that. And a lot of times they're half rotted. So it's like you throw it and it immediately like just explodes. And smooshes all over whoever it is.
Oh my God.
It's just a horrible experience. And you can't let that fly. You know what I'm saying? Somebody hits you with one of those. It's like, well, this is the rest of the day. You know?
Yeah. Somebody come outside. Where's all my apples?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that. Most people are just like, why are there apples in my yard that did not fall under my tree? Like, I don't want these apples in my yard. They're a curse.
Okay. Rob?
Similar thing, you know, definitely when I was younger, when I feel like you do the dumbest stuff when you're bored. I know, like, I used to do this, like, summer camp in my town. Just like a day camp, not like you go somewhere, but just to keep the kids busy. And I remember, like, we had this jungle gym or whatever. They'd be like, all right, kids, like, just set us loose out there for a while. And, yeah, you're on the same, like, jungle gym every day for, like, 2 months. So you just get bored. How many times can you go down the slide or whatever? So, like, we used to come up with all these different things, like, challenges. Like, we called them, like, ninja challenges or whatever. Like, if you could, like, kind of like Floor is Lava style, like go all the way around the jungle gym without like touching the ground, like, you know, do that. But we also get into like rock fights. And I remember like, we just be chucking rocks at each other until one kid got grazed down the side of his head. And if you've ever seen a head wound, they cannot be very deep, but they will bleed. And this kid just got freaked out because like he was having all this blood pour out the side of his head. And like the counselor comes over like, what are you kids doing? Like, what are you throwing rocks at each other? We're like, I don't have an answer you're going to be happy with. So yeah, just like doing some shit on the playground like that, where you end up hurting each other. It's shit like that.
Nice.
I remember one summer we just couldn't play basketball. My homie Jared had a basketball hoop and we just couldn't play regular basketball. Cause he also had a trampoline. And that was the time around like slam ball came out. And we wanted to do that shit so bad. So we took the trampoline from his backyard, put it in the front, and we would just bounce on the trampoline, put the shit up to like 10, 11 feet, and then just like dunk it. But then we was all like, well, what if we do it like, so like lower, and we dropped the hoop, but then one of us, because we didn't like realize how weight and stuff works. So one of our little homies, he jumped on there and went over the hoop and then went on the, like his chin hit the gutters, and then he just smacked his head on the fucking concrete. And once we found out he was okay, we turned that into like, let's see who can get on the roof. Like, we was like, fuck this basketball hoop.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta get on the roof now. And that's what we spent our time in. And yeah, none of us made it. Like, we kept trying and we had to scoot it up and we finally made it. But
did you do like the double jump thing where like one person jumps and then it makes the other person jump up higher?
What?
Yeah, you ever done a double jump on a trampoline?
Like, you're standing and then somebody jumps and then you jump at the same time.
You steal their jump kind of thing.
But we was going forward. We was propelling ourselves forward because we would run and then jump and then go forward. We wouldn't go straight up.
Oh. Kind of lucky nobody got it. They probably would have gone straight through the roof.
Like, yeah.
Up there.
I'm saying me and my friends would have killed ourselves trying to do that because we'd be like, all right, we're going to time this double jump shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna run and jump forward, but I'm gonna jump on it right before you to give you all my jump on top of your jump and just, you know, fly over.
And we probably would have got there if her, his mom didn't come. Like, she saw us jumping on the roof and like trying to get there, and she cussed us smooth out.
I don't understand why boys were so stupid. We do so dumb, so much dumb things. I mean, I got so many stupid stories, bro. I mean, you already know I tried to. We threw a lit match in the gas tank, so that's one of them. But
that shit kills me every time you say it.
We used to break into apartment buildings when we were kids, like empty,
oh, shit.
Like empty apartment, like empty ones. Like, you know, if they're vacant, we'll find a way to break in there. And it was the same guy that we threw the match with. He was a leader in this sense. Y'all want to do it? We're like, hey man, who cares?
Yeah.
And we used to go in there and we would vandalize the inside of the apartment. And we used to do it. And then one day...
That's how young black men get shot. You know this, right?
Yes, I understand 100%. And at one point, we ended up getting caught. Like, we're sliding from under. We saw one of the managers that worked there. And he was like, hey, what the hell are you doing? So we tried to slide out through the back. And he caught, I think my brother, was a chubby kid. He was, trying to slide up under there, but he couldn't get through fast enough. And then him getting caught. And that's what my dad was like, you know, he was in a Gulf War at the time. So he pretty much was like, yo, when I get back, like, I'm fucking y'all up. There's no, and we don't know when the Gulf War is over. We're kids at the time. And then I just remember waking up one day and he beat us out of our sleep.
Yeah, that was a short one.
When you sleep and you just feel hot shit on your leg. Yeah. He's like, why am I hot? I was just
sleeping. Isn't that messed up though? It's like dad comes home from this trip. We haven't seen him in however long. And the first thing he does is lay hands
whooping
on
ass.
Nobody's excited to see dad. Like, just not like ass whooping.
It didn't even feel like such a surreal dream, bro. Yeah. It was the craziest shit. So yeah, that was definitely. What are you gonna say, Rob?
I was just gonna say, Gulf War, man, that was a famously short one. And you're just like, oh man, yeah. Like that should go over like a week. hopefully he'll forget. Like, no. Yeah, it was like a week later he's coming home.
But they had him deployed for a minute because it was like the whole Desert Storm thing. So he was gone for it felt like a month at least. Maybe it was shorter than that. Maybe I don't remember it.
No,
too
he
much.
Probably was out there longer, but I remember that first Gulf War, that first Desert Storm, that shit was That was pretty quick.
That's the same thing because my dad peaced out too, and I was like, "Where the fuck are you going?" He's like, "I can't tell you." But he said some shit like, "I'm going to Texas." You going to fucking Texas?
Yeah, man.
So different that desert.
Was there any? Did y'all ever have any squatters when y'all was going in the houses?
No, there was no squatters when we were as kids in there. Luckily, because I'm sure that would have been even scarier or crazier.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
So next question, man. So light, we talked about it a little bit earlier about what is really light? Is he a protagonist or not? So he's probably our first anti-hero in this that we dealt with after the first six episodes anyway. So are you team light or team L? Rob?
Yeah, this is like definitely one of the first characters other than like maybe Mikazuki that I'm like, I don't know if we should be rooting for this dude. Like he's... Like, this is a straight-up sociopath. He just got no sympathy. And, like, his sense of justice is already just like, I will kill anybody who gets in my way because they don't know what's good for them. Right. Pretty crazy. So for that reason, the fact that he's, like, out of the gate within the first day, just, like, filling up pages in that notebook, I'm team L, honestly. Like, I hope they get this dude. Like, I think this is he's, like, kind of doing you could argue, like the guy said, hey, crime's down worldwide, but you know, when you know you put all that power into one person's hand, I think it could be a bad thing. So I'm hoping Light or I'm hoping L figures this out before Light goes completely off the deep end.
Brandon.
I'm the same. I think that I'm team L at episode 6 is what I'll say. At episode 6, I'm team L. I just like L. I mean, because the thing is L hasn't done nothing wrong. Like, yeah. He's just doing his job. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a detective. He's solved many murder cases. He's helped a lot of people. He's helped a lot of police departments. So he's just showing up doing his job. That's it. Light is the first reason that he has a job to do right now. That's horrible because Light has literally committed genocide at this point. And so it's just like, got to be Team Light. I mean, Team L.
For me, I'm team neutral, it seems like, because I just want to see who's smarter. Because both of these motherfuckers are witty as hell. They're smart.
I think Light's smarter.
in the first six episodes, I can't say that he's smarter. He has more information, I think.
He took the L first.
Yeah, I think if L was on a better playing field, I can't say that.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to say I think L is smarter. I apologize. L is definitely smarter. Is what I'm gonna say.
Okay. Yeah, I get them mixed up with the light and the L.
L and L, that's the worst names ever. But yeah, I think L is smarter for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna go neutral as of right now. I just want to see the best cat and mouse game. I feel like they're both so witty, and I'm just like, I'm more excited about that. And even though I know the outcome, I'm still so excited about that. It's so dope.
I'm team light. That man is like,
what?
That dude, fuck these guys, bro. Fuck these guys.
What about the FBI agent?
Huh? That's when it gets wicked. That's when it gets wicked. They collateral damage, but just like I mean, that's what happened. We say the same shit about war. We say the same thing about war.
Yeah.
So you can't compartmentalize
all the time, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't compartmentalize that stuff. Police.
How
do
you gonna look somebody in the eye, have a full experience with them, and then kill them?
Who said what? I mean, that experience is them following his life.
That only dude, because no, he manufactured
that. He's only there because he's telling you.
Yeah,
he has no ill intent for him. He's trying to solve a murder, like a genocide case. Like he's not
wrong
trying to take
place,
him
wrong
be
time.
Yeah, I mean it's true.
All the FBI agents in wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. You a collateral
should
damage.
Have been
you
in Japan.
They RICO people when they do crime. This is the RICO version of death. That's what
At the end of the day, FBI should have stayed in their own goddamn business.
You should have stayed in your country. Yeah. How many times Americans get into shit? The whole Vietnam War. We ain't had nothing to do with that. What we
and
over
the
there?
Fucking FBI would snitch on their way out the door too. Just like, oh, by the way, Japanese police. We've been looking into this shit.
Right.
Al brought us on board to like check your dirty laundry. Bye. Toss the grenade on their way out.
Only thing that's kind of messing me up is that whole guy complex that he got. But I want to, I mean, he's Dexter, honestly, just on a grander scale.
I could see that.
And I want to see him win.
Okay. All right. Next question. Is there anyone that you would trust with your Death Note? You have to choose someone. So there's no nobody. You have to choose somebody. Is there anyone that I would trust?
Kenan, you can't say your brother.
You can choose anybody. You got to choose somebody.
Because I'm just saying that's always your go-to is your brother.
I mean, of course. Normally, if you got a sibling, that's the person you're going to go to. But I would say I wouldn't trust anyone but myself.
You just said the rule.
I said, is there anybody?
You said you have to pick someone. You said it like four times.
It's your question. What the hell? What in the world?
I meant to say I trust myself, so I would choose only myself. But
oh my god,
my bad.
That is terrible.
I messed up that question. So honestly, yeah,
I cannot believe it. It would have to be.
It would have to be my brother, just because. Aww. I mean, my dad. This is why I don't trust my dad. When I had a girlfriend, I left a bike at her house, and I told my dad, "Yo, hey, I left my bike at her house. Her dad found the bike, and I'm just letting you know. Just when he comes here and asks about it, just say it's not mine, Dad." And he's like, "Oh, hey, no problem, son. No problem. I'll make sure." And then a dude came over. He's like, "I need to talk to you about your son." And he was like, "Yeah." All I heard in the background in my room, in the living room, was, "Yeah, it's my son's bike. I don't give a fuck. That is his bike. That's actually my bike. I let him borrow." And I was like, "This nigga snitched on me? Are you serious? I can't." And I talked to my dad afterwards. He was like, "Yo, I'm not lying for you. You made your own mistake. You shouldn't have made this mistake. I'm not lying for you, so I'm sorry." So my brother is the only person that I feel who'll be like, "You're a fucking idiot. You're a dumbass. Give it to me. I'll do that." I can't. There's no woman I would trust. I wouldn't trust. Maybe my mom.
Yo.
That girl creates everybody. That girl.
You didn't have to say her. You didn't have to say her ad name. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. The reason why I don't feel bad about something like that is because she would say, "I'm not holding this for you. Are you serious? You killing people? No, I'm not doing that for you. We've had discussions about certain things, which is why I said no." She's pretty much been like, "I'm not doing that. I have morals." And I was just like, "Okay, I get it."
That's wild, bro.
So I can't sit there and say, She's not going to be mad at my answer, so I wouldn't give a fuck. Rob?
So, clarifying question. When you say my death note, am I a Shinigami and I'm like...
No, you're light. You're light.
I'm light, and I'm like, I got to give this to somebody else to be like, hey, hold on to this for me because I'm in, it, like, the situation's getting heated up.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck, that's tough.
You have any siblings, Rob?
I don't. I'm an only child. I'm not giving it to you, Brent.
Hit that shit out your head right now.
Why not, Rob? What have I done to show that I wouldn't have you back?
It's not that. That's just like too many loose ends. Plus, I think you would go to somebody and be like, Rob just gave me something really important. I can't tell you about it.
When have I ever done anything like that?
No, you know, Rob. This is what Brennan would do. This is what Brennan would do. Brennan would do this. He'd be like, what the fuck is this? Oh, I remember this motherfucker. I'm about to put a name in here my goddamn self. Brennan's going to add names to that bitch. You can't give it to Brennan, dog.
Rob, do your impersonation of Brennan again. What are you going to say?
Somebody told me some stuff, but like I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you.
Yeah, you know what? Look, it's this thing called a death note. Since you're
looking at Brennan, he's just like noted.
You see that book, don't you? Yeah. That's my death note.
Look at Rob.
I got some really cool toys I want to show you.
It's not actually mine. It's actually Rob's. Go ahead, Rob.
He would let the person stumble upon it. He'd put it in an obvious ass place and be like, "Oh, you see my book over there? Yeah, it's just not a diary. No, it ain't no diary. Because somebody, you know, they be giving Brennan shit like, damn, you got your little diary over here." And then he'd be like,
"That's what happened. That's what happened.
Making a meal out of this.
That's what happened right there. That's what you just said right there, Ice." Somebody's gonna call it a diary, and that's what he'll spill the beans. Ain't no fucking diary. Ain't no diary. It's a death note. People fucking dying shit. Ain't no pussy. Ain't got no diary.
It's a real life.
No diary life.
I'd probably give it to my fiance. I don't know. Cause, like, hey, one life. If I'm going down, we're going down. Like,
going down.
Yeah. Yep. The fiance would be a good one. Would you have a scrap piece of paper just in case she started to go on?
All I'm going to say is Andrea is a wonderful human being. I love her. But she would terrify me with a death note.
She would use it 100%.
Oh, she would? Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
She'd use it. Oh, my God. She'd get back off the road, just be like, you know, like pull over somebody, got her mad. I love her to death. She definitely gets road rage, like to like pull up next to somebody, just like, what's your name, huh? Get home. Right. He's in the book.
Right off the bridge right there.
Cause a 12 car crash.
Like watch the news. It's just like, oh, we're about to get a new president. Mike Pence better get ready. Here we go.
All right, Andrea. All right, Brennan.
I mean, I have a simple answer. The fun thing is, I have a twin brother. My brother is.
Yeah, of course.
I would trust him to the end of the earth and back, and I know that he would have my back no matter what. He's proven that many, many times over the years when I've done shit, mm-hmm. He could have snitched on me. He never once did. Never. So, like, my brother he's down as they come. So I'd say him. And the funny thing is, I was going to say honorable mention Rob, but you know. Damn. Maybe not.
I could see I talked my way out of that one.
Brennan, but here's the thing. Rob's morals haven't changed. He just didn't choose you. He's still somebody that you should be able to trust just because he don't trust you.
If you really think about it, though, like, Rob has very, very, a very, very strong code of ethics. Like, he really does. Like, right. He really, truly believes in the things he believes in. Mm-hmm. And so if he believed I was really doing something wrong, then yes, exactly. He'd be like, yo, man, I love you, Brennan, and I know this is gonna fuck up our relationship, but nobody else can die on my hands. I can't have this blood on my hands. And this is like, you know, just turn me in or some shit. And like, I understand.
Everybody uses Mike Epps joke when he goes, you're fucking out of here, man. I can just see Rob saying that. You're fucking out of here.
So I'd say it's the most likely Rob wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying it would really come down to the context of what I had done with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I had not killed those FBI agents and I was doing, like, if he felt that I legit was doing good with it, then I think Rob would be like, don't worry, fam, I got you. But if he had any questions about that, then, you know, he probably did something along the lines of like, I can't take this from you. And then he would go home and he would overthink the fuck out of it, and then I would end up in jail.
He's not totally wrong. I can't totally knock that.
I keep going back and forth with two people, but I think I give it to my mom just because I feel like her soul is so pure and so kind that, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about it. Because you got to think about it, too. Giving somebody that book is a burden. And then I would want to give it to my sister, but then it's like she young. She still got her whole life together. Like all the stuff that she having going on in her life. And then just to throw a fucking Death Note book on top of it, I think that'd be crazy. And then just like you were saying about Andrea, Rob is like, she's still impulsive, you know, mm-hmm. as she's the more mature person out of us two, but she's still impulsive. So I can see that going left for my mom. Like, she's, you know, in her 60s, so she's lived life. She's, you know, she's a pure soul, a pure-hearted person, and she would think things through before she, you know, started writing and going crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so next question. Who's the worst detective? The PI from Parasite or Ray Penmer, the FBI agent that was investigating Light? This guy wasn't too bright either. Rob?
I gotta say, I know we got on the PI, you know, pretty bad in Parasite. You know, not necessarily doing the greatest job in the world. Definitely making some big mistakes, some stupid decisions. But I don't think any of them come as close to how bad of a detective and investigator Ray Pember is. Especially considering he gets home after that whole thing. He knows he's marrying one of the best FBI agents in the country. And she's just like, I don't know, honey, that seems a little suspicious. He's like, shut up, have some babies, that'll make you busy. And then it gets his ass killed. Listen, both of them didn't listen to their wife, but at least the PI from Parasite fucking figured it out and got some video evidence and like at least got Shinichi's like on tape with Migi. Like he actually got something done. Ray Pember, I can't give him a single point. The dude just like fucked it up from start to finish.
I mean, I say all in all, at the end of the day, listen to your goddamn wife. That's they always have
women's intuition.
They have the best intentions. When it's your wife, they have the best intentions for you, bro. At least listen, fucking idiot. Ice.
Definitely this one was a Peabody. What's his name?
Ray Pember. Ray Peabody.
Pierman. I think he's just stupid just in the bus scene alone. It shouldn't even have came to him. I don't know if that was the Death Note controlling that situation, but I feel like the FBI and any FBI that I've seen or heard about, they would have shot his ass dead. Like that whole interaction with them, he wouldn't have got out of that bus to even get hit by that car. He would have been dead.
Not on foreign soil.
He would have been dead.
Not on
100% dead.
If that was in the United States, you're right. But not in Japan.
If somebody's pulling out a gun, you're done. That's probable cause right there.
I don't think you understand how international jurisdiction works.
You know, you must not have been paying attention to how fucking the feds do people in any situation.
Yeah, the thing is, they only do those kind of things when there's like an extenuating circumstance, and normally it's a plan. Like they're like, we're going to go to this country to kill this person. Then they have a whole plan and a whole back, and like they plan out everything to a T. Like for a random situation to show up, and for me to be an FBI agent not in the United States,
he pulled out
and
a gun
show up and just say, "I'm just going to shoot out a Japanese
gun,
citizen."
One and shot it. He emptied the clip. It's one thing pulling out a gun. Okay, you level headed, you keep it. He emptied the clip. That's a whole nother level. I give you him not doing nothing when he pulled out a gun. Okay, you can have that. But the fact that he started dumping and people's lives are in danger, no agent of any sort from any country is just going to let that ride out. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Okay.
And then he's just like, I was never here. And then just like,
right. Like, that.
I'm just saying, like, think about it. The thing is, you're thinking very small-mindedly.
It's not, if somebody, it's not small-minded.
I'm just letting you know. I'm just saying, the reason I'm saying that is because
I have a fucking political science degree. I know this shit. Like,
oh, I don't. I don't have a political science degree.
I have a master's. Do you have a master's?
Well, congratulations. Okay, shut the fuck up. I'm saying that you don't understand the international law of an American agent going to Japan and killing somebody on Japanese soil.
If somebody is unloading
a clip. You're not supposed to be there. The police don't even know you're there.
He's unloading the clip. if you have a gun and somebody is putting other people's lives in danger, that's common sense. You're not going to let he would be 100% he would get in more trouble.
This is why I can't fully agree with Ice. One, like Brendan said, he's not supposed to be there. So and he's doing all this stuff in secrecy. So nobody knows he's an FBI agent. So he doesn't have to, just because he unloaded clip doesn't mean he has to just go out and just murder somebody.
He would get more shit for people dying on his watch versus.
No, he wouldn't.
He's not there for that.
Exactly.
He's not a police officer.
It doesn't matter if he's there for that or not.
It does matter.
People died on his watch.
It doesn't matter.
Let's put it this way. I have family members that work for the federal government.
I do too. What do you say?
That may or may not be saying what you're saying.
I have the same thing.
And I'm telling you right now that they're not police. There's a difference between being a police officer and being a federal agent.
Think about this. Think about this. If the person that he's trailing is the target, if that target dies, the investigation is over. Somebody is putting your target's life at risk. You're going to have to handle that.
You don't understand.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
I'm saying you don't understand. What do you mean?
Yeah, okay, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Thanks for making it personal.
Yeah, it got real personal. I mean, I think there
for
was
no
good,
reason.
I think there was good points on both ends, but I do agree in a sense of like his job is not to. If you have a target
and that target's life is at risk, you're going to do something to make sure that he's alive.
Here's the thing. That target wasn't to stay alive or not. He was just to watch that target. If that target dies,
that could be the end of your investigation.
It's gone. It's done.
Congratulations.
No, because you don't know who did what. Nobody died of heart attacks.
You can't track anything.
You don't know if this leads. How do you think RICO cases happen? You have to track somebody to get somebody so they can snitch on everybody. If that person dies, that's why do you think people die? That's witness. Why do you think witness protection is a real thing? Because right, they don't want people to get killed.
So what I think is, I think I might have to go Ray also for the reasons that Rob said. I just think this guy wasn't. I think he wasn't good at tailing either. I think the tailing game was trash. I think he could have did way better job. I mean, even though it was more like Ryuk that kind of caught him, but I think Light would have eventually found this guy watching him anyways. But yeah, I would have to go. I have to go with Ray Pinbird too. He's trash. They're very close in being idiots.
Yeah.
So
they both check a lot of the same boxes.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. So next question. Light's dad is a cop. Did your dad have a career that interests you at all, Brennan?
Interestingly enough, my father was an engineer for General Motors, but he never, ever, ever, as I was a kid, talked about it. Like, he just wouldn't talk about it. He'd come home and just be like, "Dad, how was work? It was fine. Now tell me about your school." Like, he just never brought work home. And he actually almost actively encouraged us not to have the kind of work that he did. Mm-hmm. So I was actually never really interested in what my dad did. He's like, "I work with cars." And he would take us out in the garage and he'd have us doing work with him on cars. And I was like, "This is hell. I hate this." And so he pretty much knew. He's like, "Brennan is not following in my footsteps by any stretch of the imagination. Alonzo's not doing it either because he just wants to paint and draw shit. He's good with his hands. He's good at working on the cars, but he doesn't enjoy it." And my sister was, you know, just a genius at everything. So he's just like, "None of my kids are going to be doing what I do." So he didn't really instill it in us or make what he does interesting until I was an adult. And I finally was like, "Dad, explain to me what it is you actually do." You know what I'm saying? Like, you supported his whole family. Like, I don't have any idea what you do when you go to work. And he explained it to me. And I was like, "Okay, I completely understand why you didn't explain this to me. I still don't care." You know, so but he broke it down for me. He's like, "Yo, I work in the emissions, and I'm the one submits the reports and puts them together on how the trucks and cars of General Motors submits the reports to the EPA. I'm the main contact for the entire company that does that with the EPA, which is a big job, but I don't give a shit." You know what I'm saying? So no, I did not have a parent that had a job that I was like, "That's really cool." That never once happened for me.
Yeah, same here. I mean, for me, my dad's a Marine. And I saw the way it seemed like it made him mad to me and super disciplinary for no reason, super aggressive, super, it seemed like he was angry at times because of the military, how it made him. And this shit just wasn't attractive. I was just like, "This is how people act when they're in the military." And then these guys get to kind of like put their hands on you and get in your grill and you can't really retaliate like that. I was just like, nah, I need to be able to get frustrations out. If you're in my face and you spit in my face, but even by accident, I should be in this. This should be like a 10-minute like hockey little thing in the Marine Corps. Me and you get the fight. You whip my ass, I'll whip your ass. And then we can go back to just, you know, our fucking job. So, yeah, I was not, being a Marine was not appealing at all. That's why I chose college, because he gave me a choice, Marines or college. And college I went off to.
Rob, for quite the time.
Yeah, for years. Mm-hmm. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, my mom works, is like a managerial level and a supervisor sort of level, you know, in a retail store at SU. And I did work at the store, but, you know, that was just sort of like a summer job sort of thing. I was just like in, you know, receiving or whatever. You know, not really my thing. But my dad actually, I think I'm actually surprised at how similar my career has sort of ended up being like my dad's. He's a graphic designer. I don't really do that. But he's worked in advertising, you know, worked in graphic design in a few different places. You know, he's working as an illustrator now. I don't necessarily have
that. Rob's dad is one of the greatest human beings ever. Like, you would never believe that he's Rob's dad. Not because of looks or whatever, just like meeting him, you would never believe that's Rob's dad. It's the funniest shit in the world. I love it.
Rob's dad is a good guy too.
I mean, Rob's dad is amazing. He's hilarious, though. Like, he's a person who's like, he's very charismatic. He likes attention. He loves people.
That's why Brennan likes him. Brennan's like, yes. I love him.
But he's always, but the best part is he's always embarrassing Rob in every moment. Whenever Rob
he
is
loves
around,
to.
Rob's just sitting there the
he
whole time.
To.
Just like, and I'm over here just like, yes. Like, it's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
My dad loves to embarrass me. It's like one of his favorite things.
It's
but
so
no,
funny.
Obviously, I love my dad. I love my mom. My dad. Well, like I said, he's definitely in sort of the, like the same realm of what I do, and like I've done some copywriting, but we're just like sort of different lanes on the same road. You know what I mean? My stuff is more like analytical and writing and that kind of thing, where his is a little bit more right-brained, like artsy draw stuff kind of thing. But we're actually pretty close. Like we have similar degrees as well.
Okay. My degrees.
Ice.
My dad was in the Air Force for like 22 years. So I had no desire, even because I did maybe as a kid, but then when they had like to bring your kids to work day, and it's like in my head, you think Air Force, you think airplanes, pilots, like shit like that. Like he in like B-52s and shit. But then I went to work with him. I'm like, wow, this is definitely not what I thought it was. I didn't even see a single airplane or a single jet or nothing. I was like, where are all the fucking fighter jets? Where is that at? Like, and then once I realized, he was like, I'm not a pilot, so I'm not going to be around fighter jets like that. Or I'm like, oh, well, no. I have no desire to do this.
Why are you in the Air Force then? You just pretty much an Army guy.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. I said something along those lines, and he got pissed because, you know, all of them beef with each other. So, and he was all like, no, I ain't be no damn Army, da 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 da. I'm like, okay. And then my mom, she works with kids, and you have to be a special type of person that want to work with kids. Like
Agreed.
I said, my mom's heart is super kind and super pure, and I don't meet those prerequisites. I couldn't do kids either. So I have no desire to work with kids or be in the Air Force or any form of military for that matter.
All right. This next question is kind of like a two-parter. If you were a cop on this case, so you're a cop actually on this case with Kira, would you be happy with what he's doing? Would you be on Kira's side, or would you be one of the guys? Would you be cheering for him or hoping he got caught? That's one. And then the other part is like, would you leave the force because y'all are trying to, of course, catch him? If I'm a cop on this force, I honestly, if I'm on this particular force, I'd probably be like, hey man, this is nigga. Yeah. Make my job easy, man. Yeah. I'll try to find a way. I'll be broadcasting stuff online, man. Yeah, man, there's these crazy criminals out here named Mike so-and-so, man. We just got to catch this guy somehow. Like, oh, yeah,
here's his picture.
Yeah,
it looks like this.
His ass be getting taken out all the time. I'll be using that shit to my advantage, especially if I was, you know, the pops, I think. My ego wouldn't be that high. I think his dad's ego is very, very high in the sense of like, yo, I got to stick to this duty. I think if somebody's doing something right, hey, fuck it. I feel like, and maybe because they have their strong moral than that, I guess. But I mean, I would be on the side of not not necessarily catching them. And after all this stuff that's happening, when he killed the FBI agents, I think I would end up leaving the force. Because now in my head, I would be like, oh shit, he's killing people that are coming after him or something like that. That's how I would feel. So I would just watch from the sidelines, like, come on, man, let's go, Kira. Like, yeah, kill these motherfuckers. That's just me. Brennan?
No, I wouldn't cheer for him. Yes, I would leave the force. I don't want to die, but I don't think anybody should have that kind of power. So I just be like,
I didn't think he should have that power. He got the power, so I'm just like, hey.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, I'm not cheering for him. But I'm also obviously not putting my life up to go against him. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
For me, it's like, I don't think you should be able to do these things. I'm not a fan, but I don't want to die either. I like my life, and you're not killing people like me anyway, unless I'm coming after you. So guess what I'm not doing? I see no real incentive for me to do that, so I'm good.
Ice.
I would root for him because obviously I'm, like I said, I'm team light, and as a cop, I'd be like, yeah. Even, I mean, specifically Japan and America, it's like he killing FBI agents. Japan's probably just like, okay, like, you know, like Americans dying to them. It's just like, whatever. Like, okay, cool. Like, granted, that's closer, and that shows that he's not just killing criminals. So I think I would be scared of that. But at the same time, I'd just be like, all right. And then as far as the task force, me now with the child, no. But if I didn't have a child, I would just because I think that's, like, if I were to be in the military or if I were to be in the police force or any type of federal or government or ran operation or, you know, job, I would want to be in, like, special forces or SWAT or, like, any type of, like, task force. So I would take that as a challenge just to do something different, especially with a small team like that. I feel like you would get a lot more done.
Shit, I mean, I would just because he can kill me by my name. This ain't a guy that's trying to fight hand-to-hand combat. Fuck that. Yeah.
Obviously, I said I was Team L earlier, but I think trying to put myself in this world in the perspective of those cops, I probably would be rooting for him because exactly what you said, Keenan, he's making my job easy, and as far as I can tell. Like, he's punishing the worst that we can't get to, almost like a Batman, like, sort of thing in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, because if, like, the thing that personally for me why I'm not Team Light is because his whole perspective of I'm going to be a god that rules over this world. And I'm like, oh, right. Dude, he's going to fucking lose it. But if I'm a police officer, at first, I'm definitely rooting for him. And I probably am not prosecuting him out of just like, well, why? Like, he's helping us out. But then when he starts like killing the agents, I'm definitely not going after him because out of fear. Because at that point, I'm just like, like, you're provoking somebody that clearly is like, you're messing with something we don't understand. And I'm not sure we should be provoking this person. If he's staying in he's coloring in the lines until we start poking him, and then we start poking him, and then he just starts going crazy. So no, I don't think we should be bothering this dude.
Yeah. It's like, he technically has type of like telekinesis type powers of, like, seems like anyways of how this thing is going. If you don't know that he has a Death Note. So he's like, he has different type of powers that regular people don't have, it seems like. So I don't want no parts of that.
That level of anxiety got to be crazy because you don't know. Like, we know because we watching both sides. But from their perspective, it's like, we don't know how he's attacking. Yeah, L giving us some idea, but that got to be some.
He could just drop you dead in a moment. Like those guys were saying, like, our faces and names, like, are on our badge. Like, anybody could come to the police office or the police, office and, just show up. It could be anybody. Just pick up your name and face and you're done.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary. Last question. Have you ever had to bend the rules to your advantage, like Light does with the Death Note? Like, Light's doing a lot of crazy stuff with this Death Note, and he's researched this shit a lot better than Ryuk has. Ryuk is learning stuff from him. Brennan?
Yeah, one of my favorite times was when I was in college. I had three jobs, but one of them I created. I was working at the rec center as a manager. I was a peer mentor. I got paid for that. And then I was a president of a student organization. And I started running the student organization and, like, trying to bring it back to life. And like learning all the things that they had done before. It was like a huge organization that like 3 years, it died like 3 years before I came in. So there's nobody. I met the old advisor and he was just teaching me all the things that they had done. They had won all these awards. They had this huge prestige. They did all these things. And so I started just doing it. I started doing everything. I started recruiting people to be a part of it. I rebuilt the organization from the ground up, right? And it was super dope. And the advisor never told me until like months in, until after I had already, you know, fully committed, that they had money. Like they had a bunch of money in the business administration account that they had won in all these awards from all these years past that nobody had anything for. And I was just like, well, I've been working really hard and I think I should get paid for this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and nobody can make an argument not because I was putting in 30 hours a week, you know, and really showing it. And so like the
dean of school. It was volunteer work?
Yeah, I was just doing it. Like I was just doing it because it was like a student organization. So I was just doing all the work, never even thinking about pay. And then they told me the budget and I was just like, what happens to this budget if you guys don't spend it by this time? Like, well, it has to be spent by this time or it goes away. And I was just like, so why don't we just pay me? And they're like, and the dean and everybody was just like, yeah, that's a great idea. What do you want to get paid? And I got to make up my own rate and I got my own hours. And like, I'd be getting paid double time when I was in college. I was working at the rec center while still doing work, you know, for the organization. So I was getting my rec center hourly rate on top of that, you know, and then go do the peer mentoring thing. So I was working three jobs while doing like 16 credits at the same time. I was in a happy place. I was like, I'm super busy. But I'm one of the least broke college students out here.
That's oh, great. Yeah.
Damn.
I can't say I really bent the rules with a lot of things. The only thing that come to mind for me is during college for me as well. So with student athletes, you have to get 10 hours of study hall. Like everybody mandatory, no matter what sports you play, 10 hours of study hall. And just the way my schedule was set up, like, the most you can do in a session, the sessions was only like 4 hour blocks. It was like from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and or like early in the morning. But what I would do is I just really got cool with the people there and I would just have them. I would really only, and this would have like the star athletes had to be doing this too. And I would just come in there for like 2 hours, talk to the people and then like, hey, write me down for 10 hours. And then they would just write me, like that was my workaround. Like I would stay there for an extended period of time. I would do like roughly 8 to 10, you know, hours in maybe 2 days, but I would just have them write down the times for me. And now that I think about it, that's definitely what star athletes would do because I've never seen them in there. But at least I would go there. I would at least be present. Some of those guys never saw them in there.
Yeah, I feel like for me, I worked at a movie theater for a few years, and then when I started working in a projection booth, which was still to this day my favorite job besides stand up comedy, and you know everybody gets 30-minute lunches, you know, at that job, 30 minutes to maybe an hour depending. I think if you worked 4 hours, you get a 30-minute lunch, and then 8 hours, you get an hour lunch. When you worked in the projection booth, you could technically take 2 hour lunches because, you know, your movies and stuff, like all you gotta do is thread your movies. And I was a fast thread. I can thread a movie within 3 minutes. Like, I can just thread it real quick and it's done. So I would just thread my movies, but they'd be like, hey Kenny, we might need you downstairs for a concession. I'm like, hey man, I actually gotta splice up some new trailers to put into this other movie tonight because they just gave us a, you know, Lord of the Rings. I gotta put new trailers in front of it. They don't want these old stuff there, so I can't. And I ain't doing nothing in there. I'm sitting there, I'll be playing my Game Boy Advance for like an hour and a half, Pokemon and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
Golden Sun and shit. So yeah, I guess that was the only time I did it. Nothing crazy though. Rob?
It's probably could be similar to Ice. I'm gonna be snitching on
Brennan,
stuff.
What are you doing, bro?
No, I just know Rob has some dirty laundry, so I'm just over here. I'm leaning in for it.
I had a couple of stories of mine, but I'll go with this one because it's just kind of been on my mind just because of other shit I've been engaging with. But I remember in like, you know, in school, I was a pretty good student. I was like a solid B+ type student. I didn't really get into like a lot of the advanced classes. It wasn't really my thing. I like kind of like to do my extracurriculars and stuff outside of school. So I sort of just did what I needed to get by to like make my parents happy and like make good grades, but not necessarily like put all my energy into that. And that was until you know, there was an advanced history class. I always really liked history. And I was like, oh, there's an AP history class? Like, sign me up for that. Like, I'll check that out. And I remember over that summer, like, you know, in regular, like, non-honors classes, like, they don't give you, like, summer homework or whatever. It's just like, you know, get lost and just come back in a few months. But for this honors history class, like, the teacher reached out and was just like, over the summer, like, you got to buy this book. And like at the end of every chapter, there were like all these questions you got to go through. And I put that shit off to like the last second. Like, I started reading the book and I was like, oh my God, like I'm fucked. Like, I'm not going to make it through this book, let alone finish all these questions. So, because they were like, you know, legit, like in-depth, like questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was some real stuff. And then I remember I got an email like, with like all the different like honors kids on there. And they're just like, all right guys. So like, basically we're going to split this up. Everybody's going to answer like one chapter and we're all just going to basically just change up the answers. And I was just like, holy shit. There's like basically a cheating ring going on. And they were like, yep, welcome to honors. And it's like, that's what showed me like the honors kids are definitely cheating. They're just better at it. They get away with that shit. But you know, that was the time that I was just like, fuck yeah, like I will take that because I'm just trying to get through this shit. I took a bigger bite. Yeah, right. Exactly. I took a bigger bite than I was ready for, but that was definitely a learning experience for
me. Would you have snitched if you had done all the work and then that email came to you?
No, probably not.
Okay, just curious.
Oh yeah. I mean,
play what about like that?
Yeah. I mean,
that was a question.
That was our
That's
online
a petty
class.
Thing, though. How petty is that? That's all I'm saying. How petty is that? It was just like, damn. I spent a third of my summer reading this shit and answering all these questions for you motherfuckers to show up and just
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have snitched on that. I actually, sorry, real quick, I did think of another time. That's probably a better example. I remember in seventh grade, this will be real quick, that we got like a group project and two dudes in my class were just like, hey, like they were good friends, but like they got into trouble together. Like they got in trouble all the time. So their moms were just like, you guys are not allowed to chill. Like you cannot be hanging out together. So the two of them came up to me and were just like, Rob, like it's a group project. You want to be in our group. You don't have to do a thing. We just want to use this as an excuse to hang out. And like, we'll just put your name on it. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And that's exactly what happened. And I got like, yeah, solid B.
Solid B. That's hilarious.
Just for being there.
Just to put my name on it.
Yeah, that's how it was. Awesome. And college for us, and we're gonna get to it, we're in it right now. But college for us too was like, you know, it was how I was for us on online classes, online tests. It was like, Keenan, it's your time to take a test. If we all get one drop. This is your, if you fail, this is your drop. But you get us all the answers. So now, I might be incriminating myself, so I'm gonna stop right there. But then, you know, that's how it went. Yeah. So, anyways, let's go to our best, our favorite parts of the show, our worst parts, and our rating. Let's go. I'll start off with you, Ice.
I really like this show. I wasn't too alarmed. I wasn't too alarmed by it not being action oriented because I've watched other animes that didn't have a lot of action in it, and I've enjoyed one. I mean, if you ever seen my top five anime video, you should check it out. But my number two anime is a show that's not heavy in action. So I wasn't really taken aback by that, so I enjoyed it. The cat and mouse type of suspense and thriller genre of it all was pretty cool. I think it's a fresh break from the type of animes we've been watching. I like Light and I like Ale and I like, you know, the dichotomy of them both. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Those six episodes went by for the breeze. The animation is really, really good. And that's what let me know that it was fairly recent just by the animation level and how, you know, crisp and clean it looked and the dark moments. You can tell that it was a dark moments and you can see when somebody has sinister intent. I really enjoyed it. And my favorite moment, my favorite moment would probably be when L, you know, revealed like, hey, I narrowed it down to this specific part and it wasn't a worldwide broadcast. I think that was a really great moment just from like, and I feel like that's just the like going to be like the overarching thing of the story is just them going back and forth. I think that was really the start of that and to show that like you, these guys are geniuses. My least favorite part was easily, Tissue-A. Easily, the Mr. Peabody, whatever his name, Pierman, whatever his name is, going off on his lady. And the line specifically, when he said, go get you, when you have kids, you'll be happy. Like, until then, you're just a worthless, you know, meat bag. But after you have kids, then just and then and only then will you know what life is, and your life will be justified.
Trash.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I really like about it is just the growing relationship between Light and what's his name, Shigoti?
Ryu.
Ryu, that's not even. Oh, I was thinking about.
He's a Shinigami, yeah.
Yeah, Shinigami. Yeah. I think their relationship is good. I think there is something that Ryu is holding out on. Like, I think there's something going on that he's not telling Light, and I think him is something that he's going to end up becoming a god, and he's not going to know it. And I really think Ryu is holding back a lot of information from him, and it's going to be his downfall.
Brennan?
For those six episodes, I give it a 7,200.
Brennan?
I love this show because it plays off of the light and the dark of human nature. I think this show really is a tale of human nature, a tale of power and what power does to people, and you know how it, you know, power doesn't change you, it amplifies what you are. And I think that it's a crazy, like I said, cat and mouse story that I love. I love the intelligence of it. My favorite moment is actually, my favorite moments are the moments where they set the stage and say, here's what the rules are. And then they find ways to be able to work within those rules that I could never have thought of. You know, when like Light had, when Light had the FBI agent writing names of his own people on the death note that he didn't even know was a death note because of the way he had it put together in there without him even touching the death note, because then he possibly could see the Shinigami. You know, it's just like there's just so much thought into it. Even like the way that he had a drawer set up, you know what I'm saying? That it was like, that was crazy. I'm just like, I would have burned myself to shit if I had that in my room. He's just doing it every time. So I love that. My least favorite is the detective, from the FBI. I think he was an idiot. And the moment with him and his wife, when he was just like, shut up, woman, and have babies. I was just like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen. Other than that, I say I really enjoy the show. Watching the second time again, I didn't lose any of it. I couldn't believe how much of the show I actually remembered since I saw it last time, which might have been 2006 or 2007. So overall, I love it. It's a great show. I think I'm just really excited to rewatch it, and I give it a 7,500.
Did you feel the same way back in the day? I don't know if you can remember that far back, but like when you watched it about the Pierman, talking to his fiance specifically, did you feel that was atrocious back then?
Yeah, I remember feeling that. I mean, the thing is like, I will say this show doesn't hold up that well in the sense of rewatchability. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I think it's a good show. But the rush that I remember getting the first time I saw this show, we were just like, what? Like, because the thing is, I already know what's going to happen. So a lot of it is like, this show lives off of shock value, you know? And so watching it again is kind of like, you know, I'm enjoying it and seeing little things I didn't see before. But yeah, to answer your question, I definitely had that same sentiment when I watched it when I was younger.
Look at you being progressive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I feel like when I started watching this again, I was excited that Rob picked it. That's why I feel like I was kind of like, hey, man, Rob, man, at some point, Death Note, man, at some point. I'm truly enjoying it. There were some things that I did miss. I was telling Brandon about earlier about I forgot how much Ryuk was talking in his own world a lot. I forgot all about that stuff. I thought he was kind of like in his world and he came back and that was pretty much the end of his world type stuff. So rewatching these six, I got that fresh feeling again from when I first watched it. I think Brennan's right. It's like knowing that I know what's going to happen. The reason why I'm excited again is because I know that you guys haven't seen it. You two haven't seen it. So it's really my excitement is for y'all to see how y'all going to react to certain things. That's why I'm back excited again. My favorite parts are the parts that you guys pretty much name. It's pretty much all the cat and mouse stuff. It's anytime L gets it up on Light, it's like, ooh. And then Light gets it up on L, it's like, ooh. It's like, oh, shit. So all those are my favorite moments. My least favorite moment was the same moment as y'all with the wife. It was pointless. I don't see why was that even in his character. They didn't need to be said. They could have showed his frustration a different way. It could have just been like, I just don't need any help right now. I'm just fucking, just let me handle this. And then that could have been the end of that.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm thoroughly enjoying these six. These went by faster than probably most four that we've seen, to be honest. This six didn't feel like six at all. I feel like they gave you something each episode to be like, to pull you to keep going to the next one. So I give it 7,900.
Jeez.
Yes. Rob?
Yeah. I mean, I was happy to pick this show. I know you guys were saying you wanted me to pick it for a while. I know it's been coming up. You know, some people thought I would enjoy it. But, you know, I've seen a lot. I would say of all of us, I'm the one that's seen the least anime. So when it's my turn, I like to pick these kind of like classics to kind of like do my back homework to like get a better understanding of the genre. Mm-hmm. So I probably would have picked this at some point regardless. And I'm happy I did. Yeah, so far it's been really great. I'll be interested to see if it can keep the same pace for 37 episodes, because that's long, and then this has been going like at a pretty decent clip. I mean,
it's like Demon Slayer level of
things just happen. I mean, I like L. I really like Ryu. I think it's so funny that he just is just like sitting back, just like, man, this is wild. Like just enjoying the ride like the rest of us, just like, oh, Light, you're a clever motherfucker. Yeah, no, it's cool. I really like Ryuk. He's cool, and I do think that he's holding something out. Obviously he's only letting little bits of information out, I think, at very specific times, like even when he's just like, oh yeah, I forgot to mention if somebody touches this thing, they'll see me. Oh, I forgot to mention I can give you my eyes, but it'll cost you something. I think there's going to be several other things that he forgot to mention along the way, which I'm interested to find out more about. My favorite, least favorite moments, obviously the thing with Ray Pember, he sucks. He's the worst. But like another thing that just sort of like, I'll be interested to see if this comes up or if it's just like, I felt like, oh, you have to write this in 6 minutes and 40 seconds was a little like oddly specific. You know what I mean? So maybe I'll pick that as my least favorite moment. It's just like everything was so kind of creative that thing just sort of felt like, why? So we'll see if that comes up later. Favorite moment is probably when he tricks Ray Pember into writing down all of his like fellow agent's name. Like that was the one that got me like, whoa, this dude, it just like, played this dude like a motherfucker. Like I was shocked when he was just like, oh yeah, I used a page from the Death Note, and I'm like, he just used this dude to write the death sentence because he knows the face of every person, so it takes the heavy lifting out of his hands. I was like, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. I thought that was really cool. So yeah, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm definitely interested to see where this goes. I think Light could definitely be up there amongst the best anti-heroes, you know, amongst the Walter Whites of fiction. He could be up there. Hopefully it'll maintain that level. I'm going to give this an cautiously optimistic 7,500.
Okay. Yeah. That's about what I was expecting from Rob. I guess, like I said, the pressure's on for Rob picking this and just being like, all right, man, let's see what happens. But let us know what y'all think out there with Death Note, man. I know a lot of y'all have seen it before. So what was y'all rating when y'all saw it? And if you're rewatching with us now, what is your rating now? Answer all our questions that we asked on today's episode. Drop y'all stuff. Go ahead, Ice.
Ice Dot McGowan on Earth, dang. And my birthday is, by the time this aired, it had already passed. So if y'all want to cash at me, you know, for my birthday.
For the birthday,
Ice McGowan.
Cash at? Ice Dot McGowan?
Yeah, I had Ice McGowan on Cash App and Venmo. Send me some birthday love.
Shoot some birthday love, man. He can't do the whole, you know how they be putting the pins of money on you like that. He can't do that right now because of COVID. So yeah,
we can't even give him a cake like we normally do.
I mean, you can't get Rob a cake,
man.
Yeah,
right. No cakes for me.
Brennan, what's your stuff?
I also recommend sending Ice some love for his birthday. Ice Dot McGowan. I'm at Mr. Producer Face on the ground.
Thank you, Brennan.
Rob?
Yeah. At RV Danger on Instagram, hit up Ice for his birthday. Happy birthday, Ice.
Hey.
Yeah, hit up Ice for his birthday, Ice.McGowan or Ice McGowan on Cash App. No Venmo?
Venmo too, yeah. Venmo too, Ice McGowan on Venmo.
Whatever your preferred.
Yeah, whatever you
I'm
have.
I'm on Zelle.
You can Zelle me. You can Zelle me.
Anybody that sends him money gets a shout out. From Ice next episode.
Yeah, sure. He'll shout you out. So put your social media
big
name on
facts.
There.
And I'm good for it too.
He is good for it.
And for me also too, real quick, shout out to Nami Wear. This is a Plus Ultra shirt.
Plus Ultra!
If you know where that's
I
from.
I feel like I would just feel fat wearing a shirt that says Plus Ultra that's white all the time. I just be walking around like, yeah, this is
I didn't even
my
think
Plus
about
Ultra.
That because I'm in such good shape. So I didn't think about that.
Yo.
I'm Keenan Baker on every single thing, on all the stuff, and follow us on the Animation on every single thing. And we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And Kenzo anime was solved forever.